since this is our first night back for such a while, just kind of keep your eyes closed and just really give yourself a few moments to just really tune in. Tune into the space inside of you. However you like to do that, breathing, mantra, breathing and mantra, focusing on sensation, however you like to turn your awareness within. And let that turning be gentle, let it be kind. Try to draw the mind into that stream of energy so the mind is not trying to pull the focus into itself. Try to keep pulling the, turning the mind, that's the challenge. Turning that force field of mental energy. It's almost like imagine that you can shape it into an arrow and you can point that arrow inside, right towards the heart or down towards the belly, into the throat, down towards the heart, into the belly. Training the mind to turn its ginormous force field and power into the ground from which it actually arises. Although it has a funny way of forgetting that. The mind has such a funny way of thinking it's in charge. It's just the opposite. But let the mind turn within and face its source, and the core, that inner spaciousness where being resides. Very gently, very kindly, with real tenderness for yourself. Tenderness for yourself, for all of the stuff of this life, especially the hard times. Tenderness for yourself. Tenderness for everything that you have become, everything that you are, everything that you have been, everything you have accomplished. Tenderness for the entire package of you. And just feel that entire package of you just sitting very contentedly right at the bottom of that great belly body bowl of consciousness. And as you breathe in, just imagine just breathing so much sweetness and love into all of this great bundle of you. Everything you are, everything you've been, everything you will be. So really soften into that wonderfulness of you. Even with all the not wonderfulness, it all rolls into one sublime presence that's here in the room tonight. Blessing the space with your presence. And on your next inhalation, take a mantra, any mantra that pops in right now. Anyone will do. And breathe that into yourself. Just repeat it, sing it silently into the breath and let it fill the breath. And as you draw that breath up, let the subtle vibrations of the mantra just touch all the space within the central channel. And as you breathe out, just soften into that deepening exhalation. And as far as mantras go, even Hum Sa is fine. It can be very simple. But just adding that subtle focusing practice to the core mindfulness practice of watching the breath. Just give it a little pizzazz with a mantra. Wake up the breath with a mantra. Wake up yourself with a mantra. And just take a few more breaths. Let the mantra go, come back into awareness of the room. So welcome, my darlings. Everybody's in the zone. But I brought all these readings in tonight. You want to just sit? Shall I be quiet? No. Yeah, totally. Please. Zone in. So it was so nice to come back tonight. Oh my God, when I pulled to the parking lot, I was like, yes! So here we are. As I think I wrote in the email today, I had all these great intentions to have new texts for the new year, but I wasn't feeling anything. And my mind was saying, well, but my heart was just like, Dada Ching, you're not done. So I couldn't even remember where we left off. And I think I was jumping around so much, that was part of the problem. But we are going to read verse 32 tonight, which is the one I sent you. I brought Patanjali. I'm going to parallel this text with Patanjali and, of course, a Mary Oliver. So interesting, this life. So interesting. I have a pen pal. He's a poet who lives up in Canada. And he's a beautiful poet. He sent me a poem today. Not one of his, a Mary Oliver poem, that I know, but I haven't seen it in ages. And when I saw that poem, it was like, yes, of course, that is the perfect poem to bring to this class tonight, because I also want to bring the sun mantras. We have a very full program this evening. We're never going to get to the end. So, and poor Danny was going to come tonight, but he texted me about an hour ago. He's not feeling well, so we worked out this whole Vakratunda thing with the drum, but he's not here. But we're going to do it anyway. I decided, you know what? We're doing it anyway without the drum. And then we're going to also do the Surya Bij mantra. So, okay, for new people and newish people, in the Indian tradition, Vakratunda is an aspect of Ganesh, otherwise known as Ganapati. He's the elephant-headed deity. Male body, elephant head. We won't go into the symbolism there. But if you would like me to, I can send you an oracle. Vakratunda is one aspect of Ganesha. Vakratunda refers to the twisted trunk. The twisted trunk is interesting. It actually refers to Om, but never mind about that. The thing about Ganesha is it's a very powerful energy field that sits in the first chakra. And what it does is it moves through the central channel, and again, because it's got this elephant-like energy, it's a very powerful force. And as it moves through the central channel, you know, it's this big thing. It just pushes through obstacles in the central channel. And since that's where the root of all the obstacles are, it's a very effective way for pushing through obstacles. So in the Indian system, Ganesha is considered the Lord of Beginnings because it pushes the obstacles away so we can have a proper beginning. And it also, because it resides in the first chakra, it's considered the gatekeeper or the guardian of the sacred feminine, the deep feminine, otherwise known as our inner being. So Ganesha is a very, very cool energy field. And Vakratunda is just one of the forms. And on our album, Daughter of the Mountain, we do this. I love this rock-out chant called Vakratunda. We have a crazy version on Daughter of the Mountain, crazy only because it's in this bizarre tempo that's very rocking. But then we did, Danny figured out one that's more singable in an eight, and that's the one we're going to do tonight, and that's the one we're going to do in Hopewell. So, and we're starting to put together the Hopewell program now, which has been so exciting and fun. And so we're going to do Vakratunda, and we're going to do the Sasurya Bij mantra. And can I just say, whenever I finish recording an album, I never listen to it again. I'm just like on to the next thing. But because we're getting ready for this thing, I have to start listening to remember the music. So I'm listening to these albums. I can't believe how great those albums were. No one ever told me. Those albums are amazing. Whew. So, yeah, and I walked down 10th and I'm listening to the Surya Bij on my way back home. I was like, oh, my God. And in the headset, oh, my God. So we're going to, and also the Surya Bij, I mean, we need sun. Every single person, myself included, who I have talked to in the last 2 weeks is just like, I'm so tired. And we all know it's because the light, and thank God the sun is coming back, and blah, 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 blah. But I thought we could certainly use a good hit of the Surya Bij mantra tonight. So we're going to do Vakratunda to bless the new beginning of the new year, even though it feels like the year's already half over, but it's only a couple weeks in. So we're going to do Vakratunda. To me, it does. I've been really busy. I have a lot going on. So anyway, what can I say? You see what happened to me? I've been chanting the sun mantras for 2 days. I'm ecstatic again. So we're going to do that. So that's the plan for this evening. Hopefully, we'll have time for everything. So, Tao Te Ching, number 32. The Tao can't be perceived. Oh, and I'm so happy I got a new recorder like my old one. I don't know what my problem is. This is what I mean about the human condition. Like the old one, the Claude bought for me because I was so resistant to recording class like 100 years ago. And it was such a good workhorse and it worked for so many years until it finally died. And for some reason, it never occurred to me that I could get the same one. It's like it never, for some reason in my mind, it had died and they didn't make them anymore. I made up this whole story. And so I go to the website where it's like where, you know, professional musicians get a lot of equipment. I go there. They don't have it because, of course, they don't have it because they sell more expensive, high-end stuff. So then I reach out to Keith, my son-in-law, who's like a techie dude. Oh, yeah, you should get that one. It's great. I reach out to my recording engineer, Tom. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, definitely get it. So I ordered it. And as you know, I hated the bloody thing. And I finally just stopped recording class because I couldn't stand that thing. And then I had this realization, oh my God, I bet I can get the little Sony. And of course they still make it. So I'm so happy to have this back. And I gave Keith the fancy one. And I said, take it. So anyway, so I'm so happy. So here we go. Number 32. The Tao can't be perceived. Smaller than an electron. It contains uncountable galaxies. The Tao can't be perceived. Smaller than an electron, it contains uncountable galaxies. And you want to, again, you want to find the metaphor. This is like our own being. The Tao is the microcosm, the macrocosm of that. We're the microcosm. It's the macrocosm. That's our being. The Tao can't be perceived, and it's true. It's very hard to perceive it because it's so subtle. Smaller than an electron, yes. It contains uncountable galaxies, yes. If powerful men and women could remain centered in the Tao, all things would be in harmony. The world would become paradise. All people would be at peace, and the law would be written in their hearts. I love that. And the law would be written in their hearts. If powerful men and women could remain centered in the Tao, all things would be in harmony. Because that's the problem, right? We've got a lot of powerful people on this planet right now who are not centered in the Tao. They are centered in their greed-driven, fear-driven, dissociated minds. And we have a disaster on our hands. If powerful men and women could remain centered in the Tao, all things would be in harmony. It's so true. The world would become a paradise. It's so true. All people would be at peace. And the law would be written in their hearts. When you have names and forms, know that they are provisional. Right? It's talking about duality. When you have names and forms, know that they are provisional. When you have institutions, know where their function should end. Knowing when to stop, you can avoid any danger. All things end in the Tao as rivers flow into the sea. It's a beautiful verse because it's like, it's moving down, so it's sort of devolving, but it's actually an evolution down into the, it starts with the Tao, it ends with the Tao. The second verse, if powerful men and women could remain centered in the Tao, all things would be in harmony. That's like the possibility we're all reaching for. I love that word now. The kids all say, you know, a person who's cool is like woke. I love that word, woke. Like, this is a very woke verse. And I love that they say woke, because it's like waking up, right? But it's woke, and it's true. And this is, if powerful men and women could remain centered in the Tao, all things would be in harmony. The world would become a paradise. All people would be at peace, and the law would be written in their hearts. And in that state, even though we have names and forms, we don't get identified with them because we know they are provisional. When you have names and forms, know that they are provisional. When you have institutions, same thing, know where their functions should end. It's like, it's telling us, since we're not necessarily living in that state that is always centered in the Tao, it's good to remember these little guideline rules. When you have names and forms, know that they are provisional. And names and, you know, that's referring to all kinds of things, but for our purposes, that's all the thinking, all the thoughts and all the identities and all the belief systems that we become so enmeshed in. We don't have to. We can stay just centered in the Tao and let it all flow and just be in that unity state. It's so much easier to live in that state. When you have institutions, know where their functions end. Again, it's saying, don't get attached. Attachment is the problem. Names and forms are not the problem. Institutions are not the problem. It's the attachment, the identity, the enmeshing with those constructs that creates all the problem. Knowing when to stop, you can avoid any danger. I love that. Knowing when to stop, you can avoid any danger. Because so often, you know, we get caught in some kind of dissociated compulsive act. And we just can't shut up, you know, we can't stop speaking, you know, like zip it up. We can't stop doing whatever it is that we're doing. Or we can't stop worrying, or we can't stop being whatever on a certain track that doesn't even feel good, but we're on it and we can't get off it. It's like, no, knowing when to stop, you can avoid any danger. That's why I love the wisdom path, because the wisdom path, it really teaches us slippery wisdom. You know, it really teaches us how to stop even when we're so caught. But if we just take that moment to feel into reality, it's like, oh, and we stop. All things end in the Tao as rivers flow into the sea. All things end in the Tao as rivers flow into the sea. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful verse. And again, we want to feel it inside of ourselves, and then we want to live it in our life. And you know, that David White quote that I put in the newsletter I sent out for New Year's, I love that quote so much. And really, that quote, I think, encapsulates all the wisdom teachings. And it encapsulates this, right? Anything or anyone that does not bring you alive is too small for you. Anything or anyone that does not bring you alive is too small for you. And anything is so many of the thoughts we have that are too small. People, relationships, aspirations, activity, whatever it is, when it's not bringing us alive, we want to stop. And we want to turn within. And we want to change course. And if we can't change course, we want to deepen our awareness. We want to soften into the big space inside of us so that we are big enough to not be made small. Right? How many of us have had the experience of being in a relationship with someone and the dynamic is such that it's very diminishing to us? But for whatever reason, we have to stay in that configuration. Maybe it's a marriage that's smallifying, diminishing, but there are children and we don't want to muck up the family. So we have to just dive into the big space inside of ourself. And that shifts everything anyway. One of my New York people texted me this morning. He got a nasty text from his boss. Instead of like reacting or even apologizing, he just wrote back and said, "Yeah, it's great. We do need to talk because I want to talk to you about a raise." And everything dissolved and they were in a great space together after that. We want to live in that spaciousness because that was a very spacious response. It wasn't fear-based. He chose not to identify with his fear and just really go for it. It's a beautiful... the only way to live. So, Patanjali Yoga Sutra, just the first three sutras from book one, it's the same thing, right? Atta Yoga Nushasanam, now is yoga. It's the same thing, now, right here, in this moment, here we are. Let's be the Tao, right? Let us be present with everything that is. That's yoga. Now is yoga. Atta yoga nushasanam. Yoga chitta vritti nirodha. Yoga is the stilling of the thought waves of the mind. Yoga chitta vritti nirodha. And it's like, it's those thought waves that make the problem, right? It's the thought waves that create the belief systems. It's the thought waves that we get identified with. And so that's why we want to still the mind. So we just open into that big spaciousness of our Tao-ness. Taradrashtu svarupe avashtanam. Then we reside in our true nature. I think we will slowly bring back Patanjali, but I wasn't ready for the intellectual drive of Patanjali tonight. But I thought the first three sutras of book one is so nice. Atta yoga nushasanam. Just that first one. Now yoga. Atta yoga nushasanam. Yoga chitta vritti niroda. Tada drushte svarupeya vashtanam. It's like now is yoga. What is yoga? It's the stilling of the modifications or the thought waves of the mind. And then we rest in the Tao. Then we rest in our true nature. One more Mary Oliver, and then I will be quiet. And it was so funny. So he sent me this poem, and it was cited in a different book. And I don't happen to have the book that it was cited. But I knew I knew it. I knew I had it in the house. So, and I knew it's called Sunrise. So I probably have 10 or 12 Mary Oliver books on my bookshelf. So I took them all down and I went through every one. And this was the last one. And there it was. And when I opened it, it was even bookmarked. It really cracked me up. So Sunrise, in honor of the sun that we're all loving and missing. Sunrise. And this so connects to the Tao Te Ching and to everything we're all going through right now in life and the planet and everything. Sunrise. You can die for it, an idea or the world. People have done so brilliantly, letting their small bodies be bound to the stake, creating an unforgettable fury of light. But this morning, climbing the familiar hills in the familiar fabric of dawn, I thought of China and India and Europe. And I thought how the sun blazes for everyone just as joyfully as it rises under the lashes of my own eyes. And I thought, I am so many. What is my name? What is the name of the deep breath I would take over and over for all of us? Call it whatever you want. It is happiness. It is another one of the ways to enter the fire. What is the name of the deep breath I would take over and over for all of us? Call it whatever you want. It is happiness. It is another one of the ways to enter the fire.